You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The UAW strike against General Motors is now in its 23rd day. As 48,000 workers continue walking picket lines around the country, the cloud of the ongoing federal corruption probe is hanging over the bargaining table. An investigation that began with the union's FCA department and resulted in convictions has widened and expanded to alleged corrupt conduct by three former and two current UAW leaders, including lavish spending of union funds. Striking workers like GM Flint Truck Assembly workers Sean Crawford, living on their $250 a week strike pay, are watching.
I think it's a disgusting shame, and they really do a disservice to the memory of the people who fought and died for this union to make it what it is. And anyone who's out there who is corrupt, you know, they need to be found out. They need to be taken out by the root.
Well, Frank Joyce agrees with that statement and then some. He is the former director of public relations for the UAW from 1990 to 2002. Together with the Reverend Peter Larman, another former head of the union's public relations department, they published an op-ed last Friday in the Detroit Free Press entitled, "Amid Corruption Allegations, the UAW Needs a Fresh Start." Frank Joyce is here with me now. Frank, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You call this not a public relations problem, but a slow-motion catastrophe that engulfs the union. Why did you feel the need to speak out?
Because no one else had, is the short and simple answer. Both Peter and I come from an era of the UAW, as I've been a member of many locals, and I was on the staff for quite a time. I'm still a UAW member. And one of the things that has distinguished the UAW historically is a capacity for self-policing. It's not that there've never been scandals. It's a human institution, so they happen. But what we were having trouble understanding is that revelation after revelation after revelation was coming out, and there was nothing but silence from Solidarity House, from other former staff people and members and so on, and we just felt it was time to, pardon the expression, break the silence.
And in your op-ed, you say that all the members of the union's international executive board should resign, and you said any of the senior staff that are assisting current officers and board members who are playing that see no evil, hear no evil enabling should also resign. It's a strong call. What kind of reaction have you gotten since you published the piece Friday?
Well, I would say that most of the reaction has been positive. We anticipated that there would be opposition and pushback, and there has, of course, been some of that, too. And that's okay. Part of our whole objective here is we need to be able to have an open and transparent discussion. The UAW is clearly in a crisis. We haven't even heard the last of whether there will be further indictments, whether there will be further raids, further investigations. But what is coming out loud and clear is that the UAW isn't apparently dealing with this itself. One of our concerns, as you know, Cynthia, there's been speculation that, well, maybe this winds up with the U.S. government taking over the running of the union for 10 or 15 or 20 years, as happened with the Teamsters Union. We think that would be devastating to the UAW membership. Well, it's very hard to forestall a government takeover if you're not promoting an alternative plan of reform.
In your op-ed, you and your co-author, Reverend Peter Larman, argue that the UAW has completely lost its way in respect to mission and purpose. Tell us more. In what ways?
Well, I think two things come immediately to mind in that. One is this code of silence. We know that there are board members who are not supportive of this corruption and who presumably are not involved with it. But they have a degree of complicity by virtue of their silence. And that's why we are saying the closer we can get to a clean sheet of paper here, the closer we can get to empowering the membership and creating an environment that's transparent and that's open. We don't think, by the way, that corruption is the only problem facing the UAW. All unions in the United States are facing very difficult circumstances, and our concern in part is that the corruption is a distraction from the deeper discussion that needs to take place in the UAW and other unions as well.
Take us back. Let's hearken back to the years when you headed the UAW's Public Relations Department, Frank, from 1990 to 2002. How were things different then?
Well, I have to say, when I look back now, I think I can see some of the beginnings of this problem that were taking place when I was there, and I suppose I was myself complicit at that point in not speaking out more. We used to have a joke that you may recall and appreciate in the PR department, which was, we called ourselves the Department of No Comment. So I make that point to say it's not as though this culture of silence goes way back in the UAW, including to the time that I was on the PR department staff and was the PR department director. It's easy to say now in hindsight, well, if more had been done then, we wouldn't be in the extent of the problem we are now. And that's true. It's not an argument, though, for not speaking out now. One of the things that we refer to in the piece is that between General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler is a whole infrastructure of what are called joint programs. They have separate buildings, they have overlapping and separate staffs, they have large budgets. And within those programs, we think, is an example of how the union lost its way in its inability to monitor those programs and some of the early revelations about scandalous spending came out of those programs. And that's why we also call for a suspension of those programs until they can at least be reviewed as to their purpose and as to their governor.
What other steps do you want to see the union take? They've already placed Vance Pearson, a powerful UAW director, on leave, but what other steps should the union take?
Well, we wish we knew more than we do about what else is still being investigated. But we also think that the UAW needs to take control of its own destiny. Why isn't it conducting its own internal investigation? Why was it so slow to tell Vance Pearson that he had to take a leave of absence? Certainly, he's a distraction, and certainly he's distracted if he's concerned about his own indictment. This has to stop, and there has to be the ability to focus on the health and the integrity of the union, as I said a minute ago, as a means to be more effective at taking on the huge corporations that dominate the economy.
Frank, as we've talked about, the UAW's on strike right now. That's the short-term issue. In the long-term, as you alluded to, there's this concerted effort to weaken unions in this country for a variety of reasons. We're not going to get into those here. But how critical is it for the UAW and the union movement in America more broadly that these reforms that you call for are successful?
Well, I think it's very important. I think working people have never needed unions more than they need them now. If you look, for example, at all the measures of inequality that are far greater now than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and 30 years ago, that's directly related to the shift in power in favor of employers and in favor of capital and against working people, whether they're unionized or not. And by the way, I want to be clear that we don't think that fighting corruption or supporting the fight with GM is an either-or proposition. Quite the contrary. We think the more that unions are corruption-free, open and transparent, the stronger they are to take on corporations like General Motors, who are experiencing record profits and, as always, resisting sharing those with workers, especially temporary workers. And so we see these issues as very closely connected.
Well, a powerful editorial by Frank Joyce and his co-author, the Reverend Peter Larman. You'll find it in the Detroit Free Press. Frank Joyce, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.